Hello, sports fans, and welcome to another edition of Yesterday Sports on the Sports History Network. And make sure to check out sportshistorynetwork.com/giveaways. I have two signed books I'm giving away. One is titled No Nonsense, Old School Weight Training, and the other is Reliving 1970s Old School Football.
It's Football History Rewind, part number 49, where we go through football year by year, and the college football season is still very much our topic here in 1921, as we discuss the final two of the six national co-champions in Lafayette and Cal. Their stories and more coming up in a moment.
This is the Pigskin Daily History Dispatch, a podcast that covers the anniversaries of American football events throughout history on a day-to-day basis. Your host, Darren Hayes, is podcasting from America's North Shore to bring you the memories of the gridiron one day at a time. So as we come out of the tunnel of the Sports History Network, let's take the field and go no huddle through the portal of positive gridiron history with PigskinDispatch.com.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at SportsHistoryNetwork.com.
Hello, my football friends. This is Darren Hayes of PigskinDispatch.com. Welcome once again to the Pigpen, your portal to positive football history. And we are going to peer through the lens of that portal to look at our final segment on this 1921 season that we've spent about six different episodes on. And we're going to talk about the final two teams that were ranked as co-champions by different groups in retrospect, looking to define who the champions of football were. And it started off with, you know, Park H. Davis in 1933. And then you had other groups that the NCAA has sanctioned to become official. Some used computer statistical, some used the human element like Park Davis, and came up with a good grouping. But they had six co-champions between all the groups. And officially, the NCAA Division I football records list the California Golden Bears, Cornell Big Red, Iowa Hawkeyes, Lafayette Leopards, Washington and Jefferson Presidents, and the Vanderbilt Commodores, all sharing in this 1921 title. Now, we've learned a lot about many of these teams so far in our study of 1921. And in this sequence of the series, we will find out about more on the final two that we haven't talked about yet, the California Golden Bears and the Lafayette Leopards. First, let's talk about Cal. Now, a few episodes ago, we chatted up about the University of California Berkeley team and their invitation to play in the Rose Bowl that year against the Washington and Jefferson teams mentioned above. Now, Cal was definitely the best team near the Pacific Ocean during the 1921 season. The team was under the direction of six-year head coach Andy Smith, who guided the Bears to a 9-0-1 record. The tie, of course, was with W&J in the Rose Bowl on that rain-drenched field that day in Pasadena. Now, they were tough on both sides of the ball, posting 312 points scored and only against 33 points. So they were 4-0 in the Pacific Coast Conference, and like stated earlier, the College Football Research Association Billingsley report via margin of victory statistics and the Jeff Saragan report all gave Cal at least a shared portion of the 1921 National Collegiate title. Now, playing at California Field, the Bears were masters of the strategy of the short punt. You know, in this scheme, they used their scrimmage kick games as an offensive weapon. It all started in what we would call punt formation, including a usual long snap from center where they could either kick for field position or operate much like a single-wing offense where they could run with misdirection running going rampant. Now, the big wins for Cal that year were an opening week blowout of St. Mary's 21-0, followed by victories over the Olympic Athletic Club 14-0, Nevada 51-6, the Pacific Fleet team 21-10 were defeated by Cal, and Oregon was crushed 39-0. Washington State was blanked 14-0, and Southern Cal suffered a loss 38-7 at the hands of the Cal Golden Bears. Now, Washington got walloped 72-3 by the team, and Stanford finished out the season with a 42-7 drubbing at the hands of the Bears. Now, the stars of this team were a pair of consensus All-Americans in end Harold Brick Miller and the big tackle Dan McMillan. Now, they also had 8 of 11 first-team spots on the United Press 1921 All-Pacific Coast team with quarterback Charles Erb, halfback Crip Toomey, McMillan at tackle, fullback Archie Bisbett, and guards Webster V. Clark and Lee D. Kramer. along with ends Howard Stevens and Robert E. Berkley. Now, the other team that we have not talked about yet is the Lafayette Leopards of 1921. A young coach by the name of Jock Sutherland, who we talked about recently in a conversation with the Starless Steelers book author Steve Massey, as being the head coach of the 1947 Pittsburgh Steelers team, and before that, the Pitt Panthers. But Sutherland brought energy with a single-wing offensive strategy, ones that he used in the pro games, too, at Pitt. In 1921, Sutherland's third year on the job, and the Leopards responded with a perfect 9-0 record. Their defense supported five shutouts in those games, as the team outscored all opponents 274-26. Now, these were not all cupcake teams either, as the Leopards defeated Pitt 6-0, Penn State 38-6, and Lehigh College 28-6. With these wins, they were retroactively deemed national champs by the Bone System and historian Park H. Davis. The stud player of Lafayette that year was a first-team consensus All-American, Frank Schwab at guard, and George C. Holtz, the fullback, would later go on to compete in the NFL with both the Milwaukee Badgers and the Kenosha Maroons. Now, Lafayette is one of the oldest football programs in college football, and they also won national titles in 1896 and 1926. Now, for most of their storied legacy, the Leopards played as an independent team and officially rescheduled into a group called the Middle Three, along with Rutgers and Lehigh, where they played each other season after season for many years, until they finally did join a division of other teams in a conference. So, you know, just some great history here on these two teams and what spectacular years they had in 1921. And you can see why they were both considered to be champions in their own right as national champions. And it's too bad they didn't have a bowl championship series or a playoff system sort of like we have now. It would have been interesting to see some of these teams going head-to-head with their brilliant records and offenses that were powerful and scoring and defenses that could shut you down. So hope you enjoyed this little bit of these five or six episodes we've had in 1921 season. And it's time to move on. Our next Football History Rewind, part number 50, we will take you into the season of 1922 and some of the rule changes and revisions that happened that year, along with some big events. So till the next time we have History Rewind, we'll see you then. But don't forget, we have football history each and every day, where we're going to talk about some different aspects each and every day. So join us here, pigskindispatch.com, or on the sportshistorynetwork.com, or in your favorite podcast provider. So until next time, everybody, have a great gridiron day. That's all the football history we have today, folks. Join us back tomorrow for more of your football history. We invite you to check out our website, pigskindispatch.com, not only to see the daily football history, but to experience positive football with our many articles on the good people of the game, as well as our own football comic strip, Cleat Marks Comics. Pigskindispatch.com is also on social media outlets, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and don't forget the Pigskin Dispatch YouTube channel to get all of your positive football news and history. Special thanks to the talents of Mike and Gene Monroe, as well as Jason Neff, for letting us use their music during our podcast.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at sportshistorynetwork.com.
Hey there, football fans. This is Ross, the host of the Pigskin Tales podcast. I just need a few moments of your time to talk about the host of the Pigskin Dispatch podcast, Darren Hayes. He's expanded the Pigpen to search out information on the history of all team sports. It's a quest to find out about the competitors, teams, and places chronicled throughout athletic history through the uniforms and gear the participants used and wore. And he is taking you, the listener, with him on this educational journey to preserve sports history on the Sports Jersey Dispatch, found here on the Sports History Network. His newest podcast, called Jersey Dispatch, is all based on the jerseys that all the greats used to wear. You can find Darren Hayes and the Pigskin Dispatch podcast, as well as Jersey Dispatch, on your favorite podcast provider multiple times each week. So remember that, Darren Hayes, the host of the Pigskin Dispatch and Jersey Dispatch podcasts. It's found right here on the Sports History Network.